When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
You know, people think that the Chicago way and Chicago politics is all depressing and tough and mean, with tough guys speaking out of the side of their mouth, cigarettes dangling, you know, like maybe a roll of quarters in their hand. They're ready to beat the crap out of you when you come out of a steakhouse. But it's not all like that. I mean, think about when you were a kid, because the Chicago way has kid-friendly parts to it. Like, do you remember playing musical chairs when you were a child? Well, they play it like that too. Musical chairs, although you need music for musical chairs. And probably the best is the tarantella.
I can't believe out of 30 professional musicians, there isn't one Italian in the group here. Come on, let's have a tarantella.
And is there not a better song than Pop Goes the Weasel? When Pop Goes the Weasel, I almost said Pop Goes the, Pop Goes the Weasel, when you're playing musical chairs. Now, here's the thing about musical chairs, the Chicago way. You don't do it like in your first grade classroom. Your mommy's not there. There's no treats like those little peanuts, you know, the styrofoam peanuts everyone hates. No, you're with classmates, but the federal government, the U.S. attorney is running the game. And they put the chairs out, and they put, like, Danny Solis and Ed Burke and other aldermen, and they walk around until the music stops. And when it stops, somebody's sad. Right, Kerry Austin? You heard that Alderman Kerry Austin had her offices raided the other day by the FBI, and it was only a matter of time. 200 I didn't really figure it out. I put it in the computer. They do it, you know, like days since then, since November 29th, 2018, when Burke was raided, then Austin was raided. And she was with Lori Lightfoot. That's the best part. She was fighting with Lori Lightfoot. She was up in that clique with Tony Preckwinkle, the people that were saying, although she didn't say it herself, that Lori wasn't black enough. Lori was pro-copper. Lori wanted to have black kids killed. Actually, Bobby Rush said that, but Bobby's part of that Kerry Austin thing. Kerry Austin lost her committee. Then she cried. Then she was sad. But then Lori said, hey, why don't we go and announce an anti-violence thing in your ward? And she was so happy. And she says, stands up there and says, today, God has made us a star. And yes, he has. He made you a star, Kerry Austin, with Lori Lightfoot standing right next to you in the movie. Like if it was the Godfather, it would have been at a christening with Lori Lightfoot saying she renounces evil as the family business was taken care of. But this is the Chicago way, and it didn't happen like that. The feds have you. So Pop Goes the Weasel. Remember to grab a chair. And if you don't grab one, you'll be sad. Joining us today, Scott Stanis, excellent Tribune editorial cartoonist and on the Chicago Tribune's editorial board. Also joining us today, Ray Long from the Chicago Tribune, world's greatest newspaper, talking about the budget and how they're spending stuff down in Springfield. And also, mayoral candidate Willie Wilson, who plowed with a mule when he was a kid, just like my dad plowed with a mule when he was a grown man. He'll be on to talk about his relationship, strained as it is, with Mayor Lori Lightfoot. And Jeff Carlin, executive producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVolantis, and me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist of the Chicago Tribune with a new picture. I got my new picture, my new kind of skinnier picture, less of a red face. And you know where you are? Playing Pop Goes the Weasel? Or listening to someone play Pop Goes the Weasel? And when they're 70 years old and about to be indicted, it's really sad when they don't find a chair. You're on the Chicago Way on WGN Plus.
The Chicago Way is a deep cultural phenomenon.
In a tower by the river, there lived a man. There was a man who took a stand. With pen and paper in his hand, defeating foes in every ward with a pen more mighty than the sword. No escape from his ink lasso. In a tower by the river, Castle.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago Way.
So our next guest is none other than Willie Wilson, businessman, mayoral candidate, presidential candidate, and a man who, like my dad, plowed with a mule.
A philanthropist.
Amen.
And philanthropist. He puts his money where his mouth is. He gives money to everybody. One time, he was on the Chicago Way, Jeff Carlin, you remember this, Willie Wilson, and you said, can you find any white people? I need to find 300 white people.
Yeah, I remember that.
Remember?
I remember that. That's right. We found him, too.
Well, anytime you're going to give away, like, you know, money, you're going to find
out.
People. So, how are you?
I'm doing fine, hanging in there, still out here, and gonna take a vacation another couple of weeks for down in Alaska on a cruise, and outside of that, I got a little rest, but I'm getting back involved now.
You know, I saw the Illinois state budget pass, and everybody's taken care of, and all these guys are getting their beaks wet with
those at home. John just tapped his nose.
Oh yeah, this deal and that deal, a lot of asphalt, as we say, you know. Everybody's happy, and then there's going to be pot. We're going to have pot everywhere. Everyone's going to be high and pay more taxes.
Yeah.
And bet on everything.
And bet. We can gamble, and we can have abortions even up to the last day of birth. So it's like a different state, and aren't you happy with all this?
No, I'm not. That's why I came out against the governor. You know, why are you going to raise taxes when people leave in Illinois already? Why are you going to raise taxes when business is leaving out, too? They go to job right there, all right? And the people moving out. And people didn't put him in office to raise taxes on them, you know? So I'm not for it. I did request a meeting with the governor two or three times, but he haven't called me back yet. I don't agree with that at all. I think they're hurting the state. I think they need to balance their budget like myself or you at home, we balance our budget. And then how can they start to raise taxes when they gave them all a raise? What kind of stuff is that?
You mean the legislators got themselves a raise?
Yeah.
I didn't get a raise. Did you get a raise?
No, I did not. No. But, in fact, I think I'm losing money on this deal. Well, you said they passed a budget, a balanced budget, though, they said.
Balanced budget. I got to go on 2020 election time, but I'm going to work to defeat it unless they can come up with an idea that we can work things out a little bit more better. It's going to hurt the citizens of the state.
But they swear it's balanced.
No, I think they need balance.
They say that in 2020, on the November ballot, there was a vote 75 or so to whatever Republicans are left in this state.
Yeah.
They voted with Madigan and Cullerton. Cullerton is Madigan's mini-me. And they voted to put on the ballot a question: should the taxes be raised? Should we go to a progressive income tax? And that's up to the people. Now, they're going to vote, but there's no question that after the progressive income tax comes in and it's supposed to like get like rich people like Willie Wilson, it's going to reach down. They're not going to have enough money. If Willie, he likes good food, but if I took him and boiled him down, there wouldn't be enough gravy to pay for everything they're paying for. So they're going to have to reach down and grab me and you, Jeff Carlin, and others, people listening. It's called the middle class tax. That's what I call it. They're going to reach down and grab everybody, throw them in the pot, make gravy. And then what happens to the state?
Well, look, put it this way. It's not fair we must vote against it, right? People didn't put the politician office to raise taxes on them, all right? So we have to fight it. I believe it's going to take, what, 60% of the majority in Springfield to make it work. And we're going to just fight it. I cannot stand by and not do nothing, not say nothing. You know, I think that we have to get new people in there. You know, there is the election coming up next year, the state legislator, things of that nature. We got to get them on the side of the people here. You know, I think the governor have lost it. But if he wanted to take and really take care of the tax thing, why don't he do it himself? He make billions. Why don't he just borrow it from himself, take the billion that he's making now or already have, pay it off?
Well, he's.
I would do it. I would do it if I had it.
But he's not you, and his money is in Grant. I think right. Where's his money, Jeff Carlin?
Somewhere surrounded by water. That's what
I'm. It's in the. Told. I thought I read in the Tribune, right? Grand Cayman Islands or something.
That's like surrounded by water.
Bring it back.
You've announced a PAC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A political action committee. After you saw the way the budget went down, and I want to know for our listeners, what will your PAC do?
Well, first off, my PAC is WW Progressive PAC. WW Progressive PAC. I started it because the fact of it is that particular certain communities do not understand what the word PAC means, right? Take, for example, the black and brown community, and the white as well, out here, a lot of don't understand what PAC means. It's something mean that we take money, spend it on a candidate that supposed to represent us in our neighborhood so that they ain't got to go to outside people. For example, the union has PAC. The union sponsors a candidate that ran for office. They spend millions and millions of dollars. Then they vote for those particular issues and concern about the union, right?
The one just took out Boykin on the west side, the county commissioner.
Right. And then it's but the other community, the poor community, don't have anything
right
to represent them. So I put about $10,000-$15,000 into it by setting up the website, setting up the lawyers, learning about it and everything. Individual person can donate up to $11,000. Got a company, $23,000. And then you can raise money from other people as well. So what we're going to do is take those dollars and spend it on people that are going to, we're going to influence them with the dollars so that nobody else can come in there and influence them. All right.
Well, to reiterate, there's the unions, particularly the public workers unions, mm-hmm. have huge money that they can invest in politics, and they did. The Democrats and some Republicans have bent over backwards to take care of that because they don't want to deal with that threat.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're supporting a budget that you say and I say is bad for the state as a whole because there's no structural reform. We can understand government costs money, but there's no changes in the structure to make it like a financially viable thing. And then who gets hurt the most? The poor. The poor and the working poor and the guy with two jobs who's got a hole in his shoe and he's trying to save money for his kids to go to college and mom. That's the people that get hurt.
Now, we'll ask them that everybody would donate on a monthly basis $10. We ask the average person to donate, commit to $10 per month, all right? And to help us with it. So we can get 100,000 people, you know. My people that follow myself that voted for me, right, close to 60,000 people, all right?
And for mayor, when you ran mayor, for mayor.
Yeah, for mayor. So we'll use our relationship with those particular people as well as more, you know. And let me tell you, this is just not a black thing. Taxes hurt everybody.
Right.
You know, right. So anybody that wants to be part of it, all right, can be part of it. Now, understand this, too. Now, I must admit to this. I'm controlling all the money, period, all right? Because, you know, a lot of people don't have confidence in certain people, all right?
Yeah.
But I don't want nothing out of it for myself, like zero. You know,
You're not doing this for money, man.
No, I'm not in for money. I'm literally in it for the community, and I'm going to be out here to fight for this community.
Let's get to that Lori Lightfoot thing, because as you know, I supported her. But I've also questioned whether or not Lori Lightfoot has the people around her who could tell her, hey, you know what I mean? This is this, and if you do this, this is going to happen. And I wonder what you think of it.
Well, first of all, let me be very, very clear to you this way. I supported Mayor Lightfoot. I have no association presently with Mayor Lightfoot or herself. All right? Period. I haven't heard from her on the phone in 8 weeks at least. All right?
I want to be clear on this. You supported her. You supported her at a critical time when Preckwinkle and that whole crew were trying to get Willie Wilson on their side. You went with Lori Lightfoot.
That's correct.
She embraced that support, and now you haven't talked to her for 8 weeks?
No, I have not talked to her for 8 weeks. I called her, and she said she was busy trying to get this city together and things of that nature. And I said, well, okay, fine. If you need me, just give me a call. All right? I've sent her several emails. She responded to email, but not telephone calls. And I told her, I'm still willing to serve and to help her out today. But I was not elected to serve with her in any capacity, right? Would I have loved to been able to have some input into the city of Chicago? And would I like to today? Yes. Why? Because I think I can help add to fixing the problem, all right? But she's mayor of the city of Chicago. I've supported her, and I will continue to support her if she asks me to serve, all right? But I don't know what the situation happened to be. She said she was busy trying to deal with the state of Chicago. She didn't have the time. And then I said that, okay, well, then, look, just call me if you need me.
I've only been covering politics in this town for the past 2,000 years. Okay, and I've seen them come and go. One thing that makes them go quicker is hubris and arrogance. I'm not saying that's about Lori, because I really like her. But people around people, sometimes staffers don't want others coming in because those staffers might lose influence. And those people have to be told by the mayor or whoever the boss is, that, hey, yeah, I love you. I'm always going to love you. I'm never going to leave you. You're my staffer, but that's Willie Wilson. Or that's Paul Vallis, and we need those people here.
Yeah.
But she's not doing it. So that's her business.
Yeah.
I respect her, but that's how it is.
Yeah, what I meant to say this, too, is that, look, I'm one that believe that, and I know I did, we carried, I think, most ward in the whole city of Chicago than any candidate. So I do represent a certain portion of this city, right? And certain the people that supported me, telling me they would like for me to have some input, right? I am a business person. I understand economic, and I understand people reaction, and I understand the neighborhood very well, all right? Now, if anybody is telling her this, every person is responsible for their own action, all right?
That's what she said. Everyone's responsible for the way they deal in the public eye, right?
Yeah. But I must say this too. I'm still is willing to help and support only if I'm asked to do so.
Would you serve on a school board if you were asked?
Well, elect a school board was what I really, really thought. I don't want to be serving as a person who been if I'm going to be dictated, no. But I like to have the input. I protect my freedom at all costs. You know, I'm not going to be this. You know, I came from the Jim Crow days. And I'll be 71 in June, and I ain't going back.
Yeah. He came to Chicago when Chicago worked. He came from a sharecropper's farm in the deep south during the Jim Crow time.
Yeah.
Worked his ass off, pardon my expression, built himself a fortune, first with McDonald's, showed Ray Kroc that he could actually turn a profit at McDonald's that weren't making it, and got those, and then got those running, and now moved into the medical supply.
Yeah.
He is an independent man, and I'm glad he was here today. Willie Wilson, before you go, it's what again?
www.progressivepack.com.
So
www.ww for Willie Wilson.
Yeah.
Progressivepack.com. So.
Yeah, and my phone number is 708-534-8200. 708-534-8200. Sign up and donate your $10.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Dr. Gann and Dr. Zan. Thank you both.
Yeah. Thank you. Here I am on the road again. There I am up on the stage. And joining us now is none other than my colleague from the Chicago Tribune. We worked together at City Hall Press Room for years. He's covered Springfield for years, politics and government. Now an investigative reporter, and he also cracked open a huge story on who's getting the money, and it's just ridiculous. Hello.
Pork barrel frenzy.
Hello, Ray Long, Chicago Tribune.
Hello there. How are you guys?
Oh, we're all right, although slightly incensed. This is the stuff that we talk about as people try to wrap their head around the budgets and how the idea that, oh, hey, all of a sudden this budget's 600 pages, we're going to pass it in 20 minutes, and don't worry about what's in it. It's all good for everybody. But in reality, it's all good for some people. And I was reading, we were talking about reading your piece in your column and reporting with Dan Petrella and Jimmy Monks about how everybody got their beak wet, as John would say. And I just wanted to open it up to you to say, what is the stuff that stuck out to you?
Well, I think it's the things that people think, do I really need to be spending my state dollars on? And that's kind of how you look at through the lens of this stuff. And so there are monies made available for pickleball courts, dog parks, and a variety of other things that some people may say, you know, it's really great. But other people will say what's great for one is just pork barrel for another.
On that dog park thing, Ray, I have a dog, and when the boys or Betty walk him while I'm sitting having a cigar, they bring a little blue bag or two with them. I don't think that costs hundreds of thousands of dollars for the bag. What was the price tell me about this dog park thing, because the other day Jeff calls me up after reading your story and says, "You believe this? Ray Long, blah blah blah, dog park, blah blah blah." He was so angry, so he was on fire. So tell us about this dog park.
Well, you know, they set aside that I could find $400,000 for dog parks. So we've got some going to a $50,000 going for dog park construction at the Chicago High School for Agriculture Sciences. Those were specific line items that were made available in the budget. And there was also the Chicago Park District getting another $200,000 for dog parks at Nichols Park in Hyde Park. And then there was another that was described so difficultly for me to decipher that I couldn't exactly tell where it was, but there was $100,000 for that one too in Chicago for the Chicago Park District. Then there's also in Fox Valley Park District, which is basically Aurora and surrounding communities, they're going to get $150,000 to build a dog park out in the northeast side of Aurora, and then they're going to upgrade dog parks they already have. So they're going to fix one up at a place called Stewart. Yeah,
upgrade the dog park. Wow.
Yeah. So they've already spent their own money, apparently, but they want to make it better for the dogs.
Now, if I can only just the dog park thing just for a little bit. I mean, like the dog, do they care? Like, do they really notice a difference? Like,
that's the thing. It's the thing that struck me as insane. I grew up in Palatine, and as a kid, my parents, they paid the $5 a month fee to be members of the official dog park in Palatine, which was on property unused by Harper College out there. And it was like 2 acres with a chain link fence all the way around it and a double gate so you could put a dog in and not worry about it running off right away. And there's no way anybody spent more than $10,000. And that's being generous because the land was donated and the fence could not have been that expensive.
Cyclone fence.
Right. I mean, that's the thing that just drives me nuts. The people are like, oh, well, hooray in Springfield. We did this whole thing. We got together, kumbaya. We held hands and we agreed on something. And you know what they agreed on? They agreed on that the state is literally going to the dogs.
Yeah. Well, they've also got something. Another one of my categories is I call it spork, which is sports related money that they set aside too. So they've got millions of dollars in there for football and soccer fields and basketball and tennis courts and playgrounds and bike paths and other recreational spots. And it's not clear to me why you would want to free up state dollars to take care of these local initiatives. And that's always been kind of the tension when they start passing out pork here. The local legislators say that they know what they need locally, but they are willing to shave off this extra money to do things like this. And then their determination is that they want a dog park, or they want a new baseball field, or they want to do something with state money that could be done with local funds.
One of the things, if I build a dog park using state money, I'm the little tiny little Mayberry, Illinois, and I build the dog park and I spend it all. Where does the money come from for the liability when the dog in the dog park bites a kid? Does the state pay for that now that the state helped build that? And the insurance?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. I think it'd be the Chicago Park District, for example. If it's their dog park, then it would be their responsibility to have it safe.
What about the dedicated dog park custodians who have to scrape up the dog doo so that rats don't eat it and proliferate, because rats eat dog doo, especially in the city where that's why they live in this. They love the city because they eat a lot of it, just like taxpayers.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not sure that there's any amendment in there that says anything about the dog doo, but there is a lot of questions that can be raised about just the spending overall.
I have another question to bring you. It's Willie Wilson is coming up with the PAC, where he's going to fight the tax increase, the Pritzker-Madigan 2020 tax increase. What do you think of that? And not in terms of your opinion, since I don't ask your opinions, but your analysis of this thing. How do you see it going?
Well, I think the guy has built up credibility here in the city because he's getting a lot of votes in the city, so a lot of people listen to him. I think that this is an area that Pritzker probably did not anticipate as some kind of place where he was going to get blowback. So I think this is one more line of questioning that could be fruitful. If he puts some of his money behind this and starts running out ads, it's another example of how this is going to be one big Donnybrook here to fight on whether we need this graduated income tax or whether we should stay at the flat rate we currently have.
Can you please put in a citizens initiative for me down in Springfield next time you're there? I'd like the state. You don't do that because you're a reporter?
No, as a reporter, I wouldn't do that. But, you're not exactly Mr. Popularity either. So
down in Springfield, I'm not.
Yeah, right.
I'm surprised.
Although you and I have been to Saputo's, the Italian joint just down the street that the speaker goes to. So
yeah, and he's been to Palermo's on 95th, where I like it. You know, and the owner comes up to me and says, "Hey, Mike's in the other room. Please, no trouble." And like, there's not going to be. Okay, there's not. But I just want the I just want the slogan change. I'm starting this campaign. The slogan of the state of Illinois changed to from Land of Lincoln to Shut Up and Take It.
Please, well, you know, you might want to talk to Jesse White about that. That's they've got that on the license plates, right?
So yeah, yeah.
Maybe you could start something that way.
Ray Long, thanks for being here. Ray Long from the Chicago Tribune. You can read him. Ray, what is your Twitter handle?
At Ray Long.
Very easy.
Very simple.
Always good to talk to you, Ray. Thanks for hopping on.
See you, buddy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Scott Stannis.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm great.
Did you ever play Pop Goes the Weasel? Or
of course. Musical Chairs? Oh,
musical
yeah, of course.
Chairs,
oh, God, yeah. Vicious, horrible, cutthroat games of it. You bet.
I think it's, and then it's funny because there's also the kids' game of heads down, thumbs up. I mean, we're talking, that's Chicago way more than anything because you always tapped your friends' thumbs. And that's, you know, you tap the ones you like to rise above the ranks.
Okay, help me. I've never played that.
Heads down, thumbs up? I would never close my eyes and put my head down and something up in Chicago. That's not what we. That's not how we roll where I'm from. But what is it?
So this was a game. I don't know. This was like a rainy day and recess would get canceled or what have you. And you would turn the lights down so nobody could limit your seeing. And everyone would put their head down, and you put their thumb up. And if someone would be designated the seeker, they'd go around, and they'd tap your thumb, and they put your thumb down. And you keep your thumb down. And then when they say go, you have to get up and either find the person who tapped your thumb or find another seat, and you sneak around so you don't get caught. Same thing.
Sounds
That's
like
really
mayhem.
An interesting
yeah,
game.
It was mayhem.
That's right? More of a game for prosecutors to play.
Exactly. But that's very Chicago way.
Yeah, that's very Chicago way. Although I have to say the ruthless simplicity of musical chairs is perfect for the Chicago City Council as it faces yet another investigation.
Yeah, what do we have? We have 30 convicted since 1972.
30
we have
sent away on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Cochran was convicted, but he's awaiting sentencing.
Right.
Ambrosio Medrano went away twice.
Oh,
two times.
I think that counts as two. So
is that two? So maybe we're up to three. Well,
yeah.
Ambrosio two times is his nickname.
So 31 and 32, Burke, of course, is under indictment. Now
he's not convicted. He
No. I'm just saying he's under indictment.
Mm-hmm.
And now all friends and family, Alderman Austin.
And Solis, he's under... Obviously, seemingly
Alderman Purell, as he's known,
and yep. And
why is he called that?
Yeah,
because he likes massage parlors.
Because if you shake his hand, there's DNA on it.
You know what?
God,
what people
mean,
are
what?
Eating their breakfast? This I can't. I was listening to another radio station, and they were talking about something about superintendents running a weird superintendent body issues. I can't explain it.
Yeah.
In other states. And I had a mouthful of scrambled eggs. And they went right into my hand. No one saw me, into my napkin, and then into the wastebasket. I did not make a statement of it. I didn't,
project it.
Blat them all over the place. Eggs on the wall. But it was just, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. Love you, man, but come on.
People.
Sorry.
People.
Well, for those of you eating, I guess I have to apologize if I offended you or discomforted you. That's the blatant apology for apologizing.
Yeah, right.
If it did. And then, of course, Proko Joe. I mean, that's our other. So, I mean, technically, currently, at the moment, there are 5 aldermen in power, or were in power, who are under investigation and or facing time.
Wow.
That is
something.
That's 10%. I'm going to do quick math. 1, 2, 3, 4, 10%.
What did you think of the Michael Ritchie, Do You Not Renounce Satan business where there's Lori sitting at the standing up with Kerry Austin, who was basically ripping her for weeks during the election, hanging out with Bobby Rush, standing there when Bobby Rush was saying, "If you vote for Lori Lightfoot, and a black kid gets killed, the blood's on your hands." And she stood there.
Well, no, but afterwards she said, "I couldn't get off the stage fast enough."
Yeah, right.
Every video, so she's standing there. She's practically, holding Bobby's hand.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
don't forget, this is the same Kerry Austin who, when confronted about the concept of Alderman Solis being on tape, she's not saying, "Oh man, he's a terrible person for doing terrible things, and gosh, I hope the feds get him for what he did." She said, "How dare you wear a wire and around your coworkers? How dare you?"
You missed the best part. I can understand the "how dare you," because I wouldn't want to be on a wire, even though I do nothing wrong. Nothing. But even if I were doing nothing wrong, I wouldn't want to be wired up by someone else. Like, I guess we're going to go do the next podcast at the Turkish Baths, Jeff Garland. But the fact is, she said,
"Is this working?"
Yeah, yeah.
"Is this working?"
She said, "Hello, federal." But she said, "When I heard that about..."
Is that a new lamp?
Huh. "When I heard that about Alderman Solis," said Kerry Austin, "I wanted to cry." She said that. "I wanted to
Tears
cry.
Of guilt," I'm assuming. Mm.
Well, and plus, I jokingly call her friends and family, but, she has no problem with nepotism, apparently. It's hired her kids, hired family members, friends, whatever.
If Chicago had a charter, nepotism would be in there as a friends and family come first.
Yes, it would have to. I mean, which makes me crazy. I did something recently. Excuse me. We had an event down in Beverly, and we took a CTA bus. My wife, she's Croatian.
You had an event? What are you, like a 501c3?
Well, some friends of ours. Okay, it's at Wild Block. You're gonna mock me.
Just let's mock
just
you.
Mock me now.
Yeah.
Before I even say it, just mock me.
Were you at Bourbon Street for a cop's benefit?
No. Wild Blossom, a meatery. Friends of ours opened it, so we were going down there, and they were having
Wild Blossom Meatery.
Meatery, like mead.
What's the guy's name?
Audrey Fisher, and he is... Mr. Fisher. I can't remember. Oh my
Mr. God. Fisher's butcher shop is what you mean.
No, it was a meatery.
No, yeah, but John's trying to draw the distinction between the accurate and the hipster.
Meatery is that's like some Brooklyn thing for like Beverly? Brooklyn and Beverly? That's another story.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway,
I took a CTA.
At the meatery.
My wife is Croatian, and they're thrifty people.
And they make excellent spiced sausage called ciabatta or something like
that. And we took a CTA bus down there. So we went through Austin. We went through parts of the city I'd never seen before. And I was infuriated for the people who live there because their alderman doesn't give two craps about what happens in that area. Streets weren't plowed. Garbage wasn't picked up. I was stunned. And I guess the takeaway was, how do you reelect someone who's not giving you the same level of service as a Burke or as a Madigan or as someone or as one of the other aldermen who just work hard at having, constituent services and doing really, really good constituent work? This was horrible.
Wait, and this is the Beverly Ward. It's like
we took the bus down straight down. Ashland.
Oh, okay.
So you went through what, like the West Side? Right?
Yeah, Austin. Yeah, like I said, Austin.
Yeah, yeah, and some of that, and I don't like to play these games, but and I've lived in a couple of very questionable neighborhoods, John.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, and some of that
what
is
what you do when you don't have money,
right? It's a losing battle. I mean, the idea that neighborhoods are dirty or messy and there's stuff everywhere, it also says a lot about the people in that neighborhood. Because I live in a great neighborhood now. I live up in Andersonville. It's very affluent. I mean, it's a good neighborhood. I am at the lower end of the social economic pool up there. But I used to live in Rogers Park. And Rogers Park is a very, low middle class, maybe, neighborhood.
But you have Margie's Candies.
You have Margie's Candies. You also have the Morse Fresh Market, which is fantastic. Yeah. But you see it that those neighborhoods, people don't care because they feel disenfranchised in every aspect of their life. What? And garbage is everywhere. People throw stuff everywhere. Whereas in my neighborhood, it doesn't really happen. The only way that happens is if there's a festival going on and someone coming into our neighborhood doesn't care.
Didn't George W. Bush call that the soft racism of low expectations?
Bigotry. The soft bigotry of locusts. It's kind of like the Chicago public schools every day.
Right, absolutely. Another,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. So I don't get, how does someone like an Austin, who clearly is only in it for herself, continually get elected for 40 years?
Because she was beget.
I know. Her husband.
Her husband, Lemuel, who made the great comment, and I don't know if someone will find it, probably Bill Cameron, you know, with his archives.
Yeah, his archive. Yeah.
So, I remember Lemuel Austin, big, he's heavy fat man, but impeccably dressed. Would say, pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And he was yelling at Tim Evans, who became a federal judge. I mean, the Cook County chief judge of the circuit court. It's just funny how all that works. Now, Lemuel Austin is from a ward that was run by Wilson Frost. Wilson Frost was the boss of the ward, and his top lieutenant was Emil Jones, State Senate President. And Emil Jones is the godfather of one Barack Hussein Obama. Blessed be his name. We're going to build a temple of his love and adoration, for his love and adoration.
Temple of Hope.
And yeah, the Temple of Hope with the big Obama head and the glowing green eyes coming
I've
out.
I've heard a rumor that the lobby is going to be entirely encrusted in Obama chia heads.
You know, if then we could smoke, cut the head leaves, smoke them, and believe that he is responsible for the economy that we have now. That's what you do.
Wow.
When you smoke, because I know, I noticed that many of my colleagues on the left believe that Obama is responsible for our good economy. So smoke.
Well, who
his
do you
head.
Think is responsible for the good economy?
I think that cutting regulation and cutting taxes is something that helps. Oh, who did that? Somebody who's referred to by most journalists as the orange Cheeto. But the fact is that
are there other colored Cheetos?
There are, you know there are red Cheetos.
Oh, there okay. are red Cheetos.
Oh, I'm sorry. I,
you know what? I'm so sick of referring to Cheetos by their color. I'd like to transition for a second. Anybody's, because we have the debate, the Democrats debate, we're coming this week, and they're going to debate each other, and they're already beating the hell out of
Biden
for, I guess, being cordial to Democrats who are Senator segregationists, like the Grand Kleagle of the Ku Klux Klan himself, Robert Byrd of West Virginia. And now Kamala Harris, or as Dan Prof calls her, aptly so, Reparations H, and Cory Booker, whose best friend is T-Bone, the non-existent drug lord and gangster, they're beating the hell out of Biden. What do you say about it?
I think Biden had his, and some, and you know, there are good people on both sides moment, you know? I think when President Trump said that about what happened in, Charlottesville?
Yep.
Charlottesville, the protest there, and said that, well, both sides had good people on it. You're going, really? Because, really? And that's what all Biden was saying was, John, you and I, and, you know,
I'm not that old.
No, you're not as old as me. But what is?
It's real. Biden's real problem is not the race thing. It's the fact that he's old enough to have served with segregationists from the Jim Crow days.
Strom Thurmond, who was the Dixiecrat candidate in 1948, served with Joe Biden in the Senate, so they knew each other. So you had to work together. That's all he was saying in a clumsy way, in a Joe Biden kind of way. He's saying, you know, you had to get along, and they didn't call me boy, but they called me son.
And these the wokeocrats.
Yes.
And I don't know what's worse, the black wokeocrats, but I think the white wokeocrats are even more doctrinaire, are screaming at him, Jeff Garlin. They're demanding that Biden pay reparations, and they will exact these penalties from him during the debate. No,
well, absolutely. I mean, that it'll be. I mean, I'd like to see the clock on when each individual candidate's going to try to wean that in and be like, hey, look at, you know, yeah, it's coming from the guy who likes to keep them all back in change. I mean, that's a problem. But
not change.
Chains. Yeah, sorry.
Sound like Jeff Garland. Yeah, no, you're
keep
not.
Keep them all
on
back
the,
in change. That's right. Obama.
Yeah.
Keep them all back in change. Well, yeah, exactly. But I want to take a point that the idea that you can be mad at Donald Trump now for that comment because, yeah, absolutely, people are understandingly, you know the situation. It's relativism. Right. But then you go back and you look at the Biden thing, and I'm not defending it. I'm not trying to, you know, say, no, hey, he's right.
That's all right, defend it.
But this idea is free speech.
Yeah, it's called the free country.
It's about this whole idea, this revisionist idea of what history is and what history was. And you're taking today's prism to look back then. And it's never going to work. It's never going to work. But the thing you people see is like, oh, well, Trump, how can you rip Trump or you don't rip Biden? Absolutely, you can do both, because Biden was working in a construct with people who he wasn't going to be able to say, hey, you're an idiot for thinking this way. This is why. They're going to say no. They were just going to be completely no. But in the Charlottesville situation, those people who were putting on this protest were absolutely hated Jews, hated blacks, hated anybody who wasn't like them. Overtly, it wasn't like they were trying to coach and be professional or anything like that.
I got you.
But it also goes to something current and local in this state.
But it's also terrible to go back in time, like the little Marxists that they are, and realize what their leader, the anti-Semitic, blatant racist Karl Marx, had to say about history.
Yeah,
which is, that's the first battleground. So you go and destroy history and clean it up. And they're so witless. Kamala Harris, a federal prosecutor. Cory Booker, basically a liar, lies about his friend T-Bone, who doesn't exist.
Right.
Maybe that's who he's going to get married to, T-Bone. I don't know. But, you know, because he says he's going to get married.
Gotta,
but
the point is, pizza
Biden vote. Has a good out for this. And I'm defending Biden here. He has a good out. He could say, you know what? Barack Obama held a fundraiser for the Grand Kleagel, Robert Byrd. He went to Byrd's funeral. So did Hillary Clinton. We all did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when does it end? Do you?
Well, yeah, and that's a great point.
You find a 16-year-old and pull his guts out like they're doing to that kid from the school?
From the Parkland shooting.
Parkland shooting, that the one conservative kid who said that he's for the Second Amendment, and they beat the hell out of him, and find out that when he was 16 years old, he said the N-word
on the internet somewhere. Yeah. Right. Absolutely.
Because he was just trying to shock his friends.
Right. He was a 16-year-old.
And Harvard takes his...
Yeah.
Rescinds his acceptance. Right. I mean, is that the kind of world... Because that's the left.
Right.
I'm sorry. There's nothing progressive about that.
But back to my point about the local, bringing this local.
Sorry for hijacking.
It's okay, Jen. Yeah. Bringing this local and current is that there's the same thing is going on in Lake County right now. You have a commissioner who is saying, after 27 years of doing Civil War reenactments, I'm stopping it. I'm saying this is no longer going to happen because, well, you know, the Civil War was a terrible thing and lots of people died and we were fighting for, you know, there were slaves, and it's just, why are we reenacting this thing? Why are we doing this? This is terrible. I'm stopping it. And then, of course, come everybody else saying, but we like this thing, and this thing isn't about what you're saying. This is about remembering this time and about not remember letting us forget a time where our nation turned itself into a nation that we wanted it to be.
Well, both my brothers are reenactors. Full disclosure here.
South or north?
South, and I'll tell you why.
Do they take pictures in their uniforms?
Of course.
Oh, really? And they're not worried that they'll be trashed forever?
They're older than me, so really.
And do they still live in the South?
They live in Wisconsin.
Oh.
They, okay. But, well, Wisconsin? One lives in Wisconsin. One currently lives in Arizona. And when they were reenactors, it's a bunch of middle-aged guys playing dress up. I mean, but they really immerse themselves in the history. If you ever read a book about this, it's fabulous, called Confederates in the Attic. And if you've never read it, do yourself a favor, because it's fabulous.
Full disclosure, Scott told me about this title when we were speaking about it on the Tribune editorial.
Yeah.
We had a debate. I'm letting people in on something, but yeah.
How do we have a debate about this? Because it's so preposterous. It's guys, and they show you one of the great takeaways, if you go to this, is A, it's historical. You can walk through the camps and see how these guys lived, and a lot of them are purists. They only do what they did back in the mid-1860s.
And they do the research. I mean, your brothers do, and they find a person who is actually there. And it's not about the idea of, well, you know, this group wanted slaves and this group didn't, and they fought. It was about, these were guys who were conscripted into this because they were believed in what they were doing. They thought they were supposed to be doing. They were protecting what they thought was right. And it's about them and where they came from, that they were farmers or doctors.
Right,
or,
but there's not a, I mean, yes, it's a political war, but all wars are. But this is a, also, for the reenactments, it's also the best takeaway that you think a liberal would embrace with both hands is that war is horrible. War is terrible. It's death and ugly and messy and terrible.
So,
and that's what reenacting
is.
And that's a great lesson you take away from reenacting.
You don't have a light beer in the middle of it.
No,
when you're like on your sitting on your canvas chair. But still, I'm glad that they do it, and they have the right to do it. And I'm tired of the fascism of the left on this thing.
Well, it is.
I really am. It's like, you guys want to elect Donald Trump, reelect him? Keep talking. Because that's what you're doing.
And you bring up the, you know, just looking at the Democratic field and looking at the debates coming up. And it's like everybody outside the DNC essentially is saying, and obviously I don't have a candidate in any of this, but they say
that, oh, you're not going to endorse?
No, I'm not going to endorse.
Because I think I read people endorsing candidates already.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, I've endorsed.
Besides me, I mean,
well, of course.
I will not seek, nor shall I accept your nomination.
What?
Uh-oh. Everyone's saying, you know, the Democrats, if they don't pull their heads out of their ass and at least read the room they're in and say, this is what we have to do, is present a cohesive whatever, we're not going to make it, especially with 20,000 candidates on two stages in 2 days for your first debate. I mean, come on.
3 days.
3 days.
Well, I don't see how the party moves farther and farther to the left. They're really going far to the left. The one guy who's on the left, Biden, is looking like a centrist, although he's not.
Right.
I find it odd that more of the people with moist interior logic, meaning those without really much of a mind, are latching on. To Elizabeth Warren, who, and I'm not going to use Pocahontas because I figure that's racist. Plus, I remember seeing Pocahontas in a Mr. Magoo cartoon, and she was really cute when I was like 4 years old, and I had a thing for her. So, but that's just another part of my life that I
somehow you
keep.
Took this beyond. If you had gone with just said Pocahontas, I think that would have been less offensive. Jim.
But
just
Pocahontas, F-A-U-X.
Pocahontas is absolutely
as discussed by Mark Stein. That's perfect. And I will make anyone who wants to keep writing about how great she is, I think they should make the menu crab meat, crab omelets with crab meat that she presented to the cookbook Pow Wow Chow as an authentic Cherokee recipe, when it really was stolen, plagiarized like Biden, from the Pavillon in New York, the hotel. And look at, I wish I could tell you, Scott Stannis' face, his jaw is dropped to the ground. He can't believe that Pocahontas, Senator Warren, would.
Oh, I can believe that part. I just don't believe that you would try to pawn off a crab omelet as Cherokee.
They had the chefs of the Pavillon in New York come with them on the Trail of Tears.
Yeah, once the planes was dark with them, and then the white man came and wiped out the French
Trail of
chefs.
Also, there were several other recipes like cold crab meat salad and others that Howie Carr, who is a friend of us, our show, and wants to be on our podcast, maybe we should bring him talked about and accused her of being a plagiarist. She plagiarized these fake Indian recipes, and she's not Indian, but people think she's a good candidate for president. Lefties, you've lost your minds.
Yeah.
In her defense, in any policy.
Oh, please, let's defend her.
No,
there's
no policy defense here. my only defense of her,
have a beer and talk about it.
But the idea, if you're looking at the entire field of Democrat candidates, right? You have Bernie Sanders, who already has the left.
Yeah.
In his gate. And Ben Shapiro made this great point that the idea that you look at all the other candidates who seen the popularity online and the digital presence and the fervor that was behind Biden, or sorry, behind Sanders going into 2016, and how he got screwed, and how there was a huge push behind him.
Mm-hmm.
that now, as Shapiro points out, you've got all the other candidates who are trying to shift into his lane to try to snipe some of those followers off. And it's disingenuous. It comes off as fake. It comes off as – and the only reason the way they can make themselves kind of stand out is go even further left.
Yes.
And now we're looking at your Ocasio-Cortezes of the world.
Oh, yeah. And immigration policy is like the Holocaust.
Exactly.
Right. Or whatever she said.
Right.
And concentration camps.
Exactly. And so now Warren has linked herself to that.
Pardon?
Warren has linked herself to that. And has built herself up, and it's brilliant because
that she's what I'm going to even go farther left to suck up to strip votes from Sanders.
Well, yeah, exactly. And AOC is the new bright shiny thing in the super left, and Warren is using that brilliantly. She's every week they're doing little Twitter things together, Instagram things together, little videos together about stuff that isn't even political. We're talking Game of Thrones. We're talking The Bachelor, whatever it is. That, you have to admit, is a brilliant move
why
on her part.
Those with moist interior logic are drawn to her.
Okay, band name, Dibs.
Yeah, oh, dang, that is a good band name, Moist Interior Logic.
I don't even know if I made that up. It just came out of me, maybe spontaneously.
This actually dovetails back into our earlier conversation, how no one knows history, and why 20-somethings can say, yeah, socialism, yeah. Again, John and I, or myself, you know, old guy who saw what socialism did to Europe for years. It obliterated. It almost destroyed its economy.
My family fought my father and my uncles and cousins. Our whole village fought commies with knives and guns. And when they begin fighting in their own country, you know what happens? There's a lot more than just politics. There's resentments and histories between clans and people that go back like you moved that rock. That rock is marks our field, not yours, and you moved it 10 feet over. And that's why people kill each other for stuff like that and slaughter each other in Europe. And you know what? I don't want it happen here.
And no reenactments there, though. They don't.
Right.
What are they going to do? Go to the reservoir in Athens, outside of Athens, where the communists dumped all the bodies of mutilated women? But that's okay because that's all right because I keep hearing from my professors when I was a kid. And some people in journalism and people in politics that socialism is okay.
But before they were slaughtered, those women had great health care.
If you're of moist interior, what was the phrase again?
Moist interior logic.
Moist interior logic. If you look at capitalism and socialism and democracy on paper, of course you pick socialism because it looks like it's utopian and there are fairies handing out food.
Well, we have it here, don't we?
What do you mean?
Have it in Illinois, don't we?
We just passed that whole thing down in Springfield.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I came up with, before what's her name? Carrie Austin, sorry.
That's right.
Before Carrie Austin was raided while she was standing next, her office was raided while she was standing next to Lori Lightfoot, which is one of the most delicious things about the week. I was writing another column about, not about her, but about an office that I'm creating for Pritzker.
Tell me.
It's called GSGO, basically. The Office of Get Stoned or Get the Bleep Out. And the idea
is silent.
Yeah, the bleep is silent, or it has a actual bleep. The idea is that people are, we're getting taxed out of our homes anyway.
Yeah.
So if you sold your bungalow, you could live in Bulgaria for, like, say, you sold it for 150, right?
Okay.
Bungalow.
Oh,
you could live in Bulgaria. Probably.
Here in Chicago?
Like a king for $150,000 for 20 years. And by then you're dead, and so who cares? Right?
So
Costa Rica, Chile.
Chile.
You live in Chile.
Chile.
A beautiful country and not too many communists, I think, because of Pinochet. But anyway.
Got rid of Allende.
It's stable. The only thing is they don't let you just show up there and go on welfare. They actually don't like you to jump over their border.
What? No.
They get upset. They want you to have stuff in the money in the box, money in the bank. You want to go to Costa Rica? You better have $24,000 a year and prove it. For Ray Long, and his lively discussion of dog parks on the state dime. For Willie Wilson, our friend and choir director, and also the man who's got a kind of a tentative relationship with Lori Lightfoot these days. For Scott Stanis,
hey.
The award-winning, amazing cartoonist
thank you.
Of the Chicago Tribune. You could reach him at Scott Stanis
on Twitter.
And he's also the cartoonist of an author of Prickly City
yes.
and the Prickly City podcast.
Yes, which you've been invited to publicly and privately.
I will go when actually someone asks me to go.
How about this coming Monday?
Yes, why not?
Okay. That'd be great.
And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer of The Rokan Show with Anna DeVellantis, who is in love with the phrase moist interior logic, but I don't think it's mine. I think I may have, I don't know, I just don't feel like I created it. Maybe someone else did. And for me, John Cass, husband, father, columnist for the Chicago Tribune, member of its editorial board with a new picture, and maybe I'm going to go to Bulgaria to write my column because it'll be away from Pritzker. And they have good feta and somewhat decent soccer. Thanks for being here on another edition of the Chicago Week.